Mike the Hobbit, this is Doug Bradley. I'm coming for you, and I will tear your soul apart.
The views and opinions expressed on Geeks Under the Influence are that of the panelists and not of our sponsors, Amazon.com and TeePublic. Parental discretion is advised.
Buildings that were and shall be again, a changing of the guard, the dead's marching in. You think you can hold out, but you know you're wrong, so you better join us now. You better do it fast, or you will be. Necronomicon gives us power to rise from the dead.
Hello, geeks, and welcome to the second half of our 31 Days of Halloween, where we talk about all the shit you should be watching during the Halloween season. If you're not listening to the first half, then you have not listened to the first half of the season of movies that you should be watching. So definitely check out part one to get the A through M.
We got through M on the first half.
And then we'll get through the second half of Halloween season on this episode. So, this has been so much fucking fun.
It has been.
So much. And the panel here to help me along with this, and we'll do this very quickly, Will Macabre is here.
Thank you.
Let me throw it to you now. You are actually doing a show soon. Yeah.
Yes, actually. Getting the band back together post-COVID.
Fuck yeah.
Fucking getting back on stage. Synthetic Nightmare is going to be taking the stage again at Fallout downtown in Richmond, Virginia on November 12th. So fucking keep up. There's going to be it's a great lineup. Barry White Hansen opening, ready to have a fucking blast. It's been like 3.5 years since we got to do a show.
It's been
a tough time, and there's been a lot of ups and downs, but like getting it fucking back on stage, and I cannot wait.
Hell, that's going to be so much fun. So November 12th, Fallout.
Yep.
That's going to be a good time.
I can look it up. We're fucking beginning.
Oh, yeah. I'll throw the links up, too.
Sounds great.
So, yeah. Next up is the horror queen herself from a Nerdcropolis. We've got Katie here.
Hey, friends. Hey, friends. Follow me on at Nerdcropolis on Instagram to check out my 11th year of 31 Nights of Horror starting October 1st.
Fuck yeah.
You're pulling double duty on the 31 Nights of Horror.
The crazy thing is, the amount of episodes she's been on for GUI, her own list is like different.
It's different.
It's different. It's its own thing, and it's awesome.
That's amazing.
No, because I've looked at her list and been like, oh, I guess I need to double down on a few nights.
I mean,
like,
keep up. That's all I can say.
Yeah. Yeah, you gotta keep up. But no, you definitely do it's a totally different vibe, like, that you go with your R, and it's like,
hey, slow down.
It's solid.
Follow me, because I need people to talk to.
No, I just love that, like, you can do that and still have completely different thing, you know, totally different
approaches
to doing the same thing.
Thanks,
that
buddy.
People can pull from.
Try to
I love that.
Fresh.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Speaking of fresh, freshest man in town, my co-host.
I am not Will Smith from the 90s.
I wish you would do like the lines on the side and then
Oh God, no.
Just put fresh on the back of your head.
My hair won't poof like that because I'm mixed. So like it just kind of curls.
I mean, I could probably pull that off with my curly hair. So if I can, you can.
Yeah, but it won't look the same.
It won't. I mean, I wouldn't. Yeah, it wouldn't look as good on me. But no, the gentleman, we're going to get matching haircuts in the not too distant future.
Oh, dear God, no.
Low down, Brown MacGyver. Well,
that is not happening, folks.
Yes, speaking of spooky season.
We're going to be Kid and Play, the new batch.
So obviously I would have to be Play because, like, you are way too white to be Play.
I'm too white to be either Kid or Play. I mean, Kid is...
Kid's pretty light,
he's
dude.
He's pale.
He's pretty light.
He's not this pale. I would not do that man the disservice to say that we are similar in any way.
Oh, but to see you with an eraser head, bro.
Yes.
That'd be
oh my God. Can
awesome.
I please?
<There's a poof>.
Yes.
And then I start a Static X cover band. Oh wait, no, that's been covered by one of our other friends. That's doing that.
I love Wayne Static's response after the first album when he was still, you know, young and just being a dick. He's like, "It's come. How do you get your hair to stand up? It's come." Like, it just didn't even fuck it.
Burn through the witches and snap into a bunch of Slim Jims. Yeah.
That's not the same.
That's different.
That's Rob Zombie.
No, I know.
Oh,
I know.
What? don't. No. Oh, okay. No, hard line. The man who apparently thinks that Wayne Static and Rob Zombie are one of the same.
They're basically the same.
Oh, God. Well, one's alive, so there's that.
That's true.
That's one is
surprisingly.
So, Mike the Hopper Bigot, that was a horrible intro. I'm so sorry, buddy. I'm so sorry.
You think that you would think that like Spider and Rob Zombie and
John Wayne Static Five
would just like touch their tips together and then be like sucked into a vortex to hell together, but no, just one.
That's the porn I watch.
Yeah, right. And then the dude from Drowning Pool is the one that takes them across the river.
Don't let the bodies hit the water.
There's
let
some
the
like new metal dude water. Listening to this that's so
he's
mad.
He's so angry.
I'm so sorry. Woodstock 99 was great.
Yeah, great. Yep.
Oh, no. I have a buddy who went to Woodstock 99, my buddy Ali, and he is like, it was, I mean, he was just fucked up the whole time.
Yeah.
But looking back, he's like, no, it was a fucking train wreck.
Speaking like, of fucked up all the time, that is how we're starting this second half. Clearly, a second half show where we're doing part two of our 31 Days of Halloween. We're going to start it off real quick by doing the thing that really motivates us to do this show. We're talking about what we're drinking.
Hey, we're fucking drinking. We're getting drunk. You want to know? Well, here you go. Hey!
Spooky. Spooky, Kyle. Spooky smash.
Ooh, or smash the spooky.
Smash the spooky,
Smash the spooky.
That sounds like a weird, like, phone game.
That's where you went with. That's where you went with smash the spooky.
The spooky.
Or when I was single and going to Fallout.
Yeah, there we go.
smash the spooky on the left hand side. Yeah.
Oh,
it's just, sorry. Anyway,
so instead of shock the monkey, it's smash the spooky.
Yeah,
don't you wanna smash the spooky? Well, that's the name of the episode for sure. We're like 45 seconds in. Cool.
It's awesome.
So, Will, let's get yours out of the way because you've been like dying to reveal your fucking share for this.
Yeah, here we go. It's nothing actually that fancy. I just kind of wanted to scare you with a brown paper bag of some sort of nondescript.
I mean,
it was ominous.
Considering you've brought Malort before, it is intimidating when you don't want to show us what you brought until the last second.
I wanted to bring a little bit of satanic panic to us, and we all get a shot of the Devil's Cut.
Ooh.
Yes!
Hail Satan.
Hail Satan.
No, that's a good Jim Beam.
So, here you go.
Thank
Why does
you.
It feel so nice to say "Hail Satan"? It does. Like it's just like as it passes your lips.
Well, I wake up and say it every morning.
Can we just like play Year Zero and be done with it?
Yeah, right.
Everyone's heard Ghost Year Zero, right?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or Orbital's Satan, where it's like, and when you see your mother, tell her Satan, Satan, Satan,
Satan, Satan, Satan.
All right. Well, let's do a cheers to the Devil's
Ooh,
Cut.
Ooh, thanks, Will.
Oh, I'm Satan. Behind. Hold on. Oh, God.
Here's to Satan. Here's to Satan.
Belial. Behemoth.
Baphomet. Beelzebub.
Beelzebub. There you go.
Walt.
Black Phillip.
Yes, that's good. No, that's like...
It's not bad.
Yeah. I like it because like I got burnt on a regular Jim Beam. From drinking it so much when I was younger.
Yeah.
And the sweetness that comes on the back end.
There
which,
is a sweetness.
Which is the reason why I liked it over Jack Daniels. But Devil's Cut's like that middle ground where it's still Jim Beam and not charcoal filtered shit like Jack Daniels. Which is why I like
there
it.
There you go.
You still got that,
you know what I'm saying?
That old Kentucky hug, though, at the back end.
Yeah.
That old Kentucky hug of the burn throat.
Yeah. Lowdown.
See, it thinks it's your brother. So it's...
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the brother I don't like.
You brought Lowdown some deliciousness for us to enjoy.
I did.
As, well.
As always, I like to keep it East Coast local. Baby, that's what we do here, you know. Keep
that
it real. This is a pumpkin latte, which is a spiced amber ale brewed with coffee. And this is from Aleworks Brewing Company out of Williamsburg, Virginia. We've had multiple of their beers on this show over
They're
the years.
They're solid, yeah.
They're a great fucking brewery. I remember when they were a baby.
They're also like right down the road from Busch Gardens. So if you let's say, are going to do Hollow Scream or whatever?
Hollow Scream, yeah.
Hollow Scream there. If you kind of roll in a little early, get a few drinks at Aleworks before rolling
cheaper
in.
Cheaper than making it with Gardens.
It's definitely cheaper.
The stairs are a lot better when you do that.
Yeah. But also, when I first started going there, it was like leaving Scares the Care because it's right down the street from the Doubletree that Scares the Care HorrorCon is.
So. That's right, yeah.
Yeah, I would go there afterwards.
That's the same Doubletree, I think, that does RavenCon as well.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yep. It is. So... I have yet to take a sip of this, but it definitely smelled like coffee and pumpkin latte, so.
It's a tasty beverage. Like, it's not as sweet as I expected it to be.
Cheers.
So, cheers.
Everybody.
as a basic fright girl. LOL.
Well, that's good.
I would say I love the can too. It's got the little solid, like Starbucksy.
Yeah, it's a solid drink and a good pun.
Yeah, thank you.
This is actually really good.
Really, what's a better night than having solid drinks and good puns? I mean,
I can't think of it. That was good.
Yeah. This is good. This is really good. This is pretty good.
Yummy.
It's not sweet. It's not like, no, this is good.
It's smooth.
I like it. Yeah, it's smooth.
Yeah. Mm.
I'm just going to replace my coffee in the morning.
Yeah, the problem with this is that it's too easy. What's the ABV on this?
Because
it's
7.8.
It's too easy.
I mean, that's not going to get.
I'm sorry. 7.3.
Okay.
Well, might as well just take a bong hit of it.
No, yeah. For 7%, this is so fucking drinkable.
Yeah. Dangerous.
Yeah, this is very dangerous wrecked. For sure.
Get wrecked.
Get caffeinated and wrecked.
Yeah.
So this is like the fall person's Red Bull and vodka.
Oh, yeah. Classy. Yeah.
De classe.
Yeah. Yeah.
We gotta do it better, right?
Absolutely.
Red Bull and vodka is for fucking college students and yeah.
Yeah, we're elevated.
Yeah, exactly.
Now I
oh, that word. Oh God.
Amy and I have been freaking out over this cidery. That's
so good.
Most of the ciders that we've had from the cidery have been fantastic. They're based out of Boston, so yeah, East Coast local. And
God,
barely.
That's the OG. Like,
well, that's pretty close.
It's Yingling. It's Philly. It's East Coast. Right? Yeah. Get the fuck out of here, man.
But this is Down East Cidery is so the brand. Everything that we've had from them has been absolutely fantastic. My personal favorite is the blueberry is really good. Until this, which is a very limited run. If you have the chance to try it out, it is their cider donut.
Where do you get these from?
Oh my God.
I got this from was it the market down on 25th in Maine?
Really?
Oh,
yeah.
Cool.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
This smells fucking amazing.
Is that the only, I've never seen this before, so I want to buy at least two or four packs of these.
They started doing variety packs recently too, and that seems to be showing up in more places, so I think their distribution is getting better in this area.
Okay.
So keep an eye out.
No, if this is limited, I want to own this.
I want to bathe in this. This is so fucking good.
So delicious. It could be served out of a food truck and or like anywhere. It's so good.
Yeah, it's so good.
I could drink this hot.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, honestly?
Yeah.
Like this, I think it's good cold, but yeah, I could.
It's like a pastry you would warm up.
Was like a hot beer right now and it was a cold night,
I would be okay with it. I agree.
I'm down.
It could be in a pastry case.
The thing, and it's on the finish. This is difference is that, yeah, it does taste like a cider. Oh, yeah, an apple based alcoholic beverage tastes like a cider donut. Oh, a cider donut tastes like cider. But the cinnamon is the right level. That it balances well, but beyond that,
all the apple comes from the cider.
The finish on it has almost like a kind of a like a doughy,
like a creamy kind of
finish note to it. That's the kicker for me. That's what really sells it for me is that it's not just a spiced cider. It's got almost this little blip on the end.
Wherever this is brewed, they should put up the hot sign like at Krispy Kreme, right? As if this is fresh off the line. I think it's delicious.
I think that what makes it for me is I've had two of the flavors of this brand, and the fact that it's a cider doing it, because a lot of ciders generally go tart, whereas when other things try to do something apple related, it's just like diabetes in a fucking can. This. All the apple comes from the cider, and it's everything else to make it taste like it's a donut. So I think that's why it works really well, because
it's not oversweet, it's flavor and
tart, but it's not overly sweet. And I fucking, it's so
this good. Is really good.
Yeah, it's really fucking good. That's why I want to own them to drink them next month too. Because that thing, people don't realize, if you want the fall booze, you got to preemptively buy it so you have it when you want it, because it's not going to be available when it actually is time to drink.
God, it's so hard to do that though, but you're right. Yeah.
Just go out at the end of August and start buying shit. That's what I do. I've known that for the last 4 years.
You're right.
And I'm stocked with my pumpkin beers I like, and like seven different versions of the Oktoberfest I like, and I'm good. Because I am a responsible alcoholic.
The best kind.
It's really good. Thank you for sharing. Delicious.
What's that?
The fuck you talking about, responsible?
I look at my action figures, like, how many of you did I buy at 2 in the morning on eBay?
Those are investment pieces.
Oh, right, yeah.
You will have those forever.
It's a retirement.
Forever,
you know, I've had Ghostbusters memorabilia show up at my house that I forgot I ordered.
That sounds.
But then it's like a Christmas Day all over again.
That was someone else. That wasn't even you.
It was totally fucking me.
It was 100%.
You're just like, no. Oh, fuck. Okay, cool. All
right, so we got to get back to
the task at hand. The episode.
Yeah. Yeah. So when you left, found this little troop of horror nerds. We had just finished the letter M, I believe,
yes,
for the Mist.
Yes, the Mist.
So N comes to me. That's my letter starting off.
We are on the 14th of
the 14th
October for those.
Of October is where we're starting off here for this. And I had to go back to my roots.
Oh.
The thing that really informed me, that there were different levels of, like, my life with horror, starting with, like, very old school, like, black and white horror with, like, Night of the Living Dead and The Fly and, like, the old, like, classics.
Because
I was poor, and I used to actually go to the library and rent out the horror movies
I remember those.
Along with listening to old
which you can still
tapes,
do, by the way.
Cassette tapes of The Shadow and old, like, horror radio shows that they had on cassette tape at the so that's still close to my heart.
Awesome.
It's like the old and you can find podcast channels that have those old 1930s radio shows of horror and stuff that you can listen to, and it's like a blanket. Like, it's comforting to me to listen to those.
I'm feeling fuzzy.
So now you have comfort podcasts. You know, we all have comfort movies.
Yeah.
And like comfort stories and comfort foods, like there's like
comfort podcasts,
yeah, because they're incorporating those things.
Yep,
that's pretty awesome. It's pretty awesome.
But I would say this is also kind of a comfortable blanket for me, comfort blanket for my like early teen years when I started discovering like the '80s, like slasher genre, late '70s, early '80s slasher genre was Freddy Krueger has been my guy, and New Nightmare.
Yeah,
I love New Nightmare.
Is so good.
For being so far down the line of sequels for Freddy Krueger, has no right to be as good as it is. But before, and here's the thing, everybody fucking glows about Scream, and for good reason.
Wouldn't have happened without New Nightmare.
New Nightmare has the blueprints for Scream.
Yeah.
It's the meta.
Yeah.
It's probably the first real meta.
It was. No, I mean, it's not even probably. If we're all old enough, we lived through that, right? Like, no, that was Scream came out and it was meta, but it built upon the house that New Nightmare built.
Yeah,
right, so
absolutely.
To say, right? What you're saying. So and it came off as something that was fresh and new, because and not to discredit Wes Craven, even it's the same fucking director. It was, but like New Nightmare, it was channeling that ideology with an already existing structure, the house that Freddy built, right? So like
exactly.
It was able
he's,
to.
He's having a conversation about like, what is the state of horror now? A thing that I helped contribute to.
Fuck yeah, he did.
And so what do I do with my characters now? And his idea was to step back from it and have a conversation about like the genre itself while still playing with the toys that he created.
Mm-hmm.
Was such a smart move. And then you see how his perspective on that, how that translates to Scream. I mean, it's almost like companion pieces. Like you should double feature those
100%.
Movies and see how much of New Nightmares translates
Influence.
Into Scream.
Yeah, translates.
And
I'm glad. That's awesome. I'm glad that we're bringing that up, because I don't think that gets talked about really.
Not enough.
No,
I've
always been a huge fan.
I don't think
Nightmare.
I'm the first person to make that comparison.
No. Especially on like on an episode that's specifically about horror. I know we haven't brought it up on Madness, so it's nice to bring that up, because I always say my third favorite Nightmare movie is New Nightmare. Like it's one,
yeah,
three,
it's
and
up,
New Nightmare. I fucking love New Nightmare
right
so much.
You're
like,
absolutely right.
And it's just nice to hear it talked about in that vein too. Other than just like it's the best sequel since 3. It's like no, it actually
but
was
how
pioneering.
That, you're that like what numbers is that? 7?
Yeah, it's
yeah.
7.
7? It is 7.
Seven.
It is the 7th movie
but
in the series.
But it felt so fresh.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
It really
when
did.
When you are the 7th movie in a series and you're reinventing the fucking wheel.
Yeah.
What the fuck? That doesn't happen.
No. I never really go back and watch. I occasionally will try and I'll get 1, 2, and 3. And
I'll,
then
I'll
I
do
just
4
like,
on occasion. I'll
and
do
then,
4.
And then I just end up skipping straight to New Nightmare. Just watch New Nightmare. And then I'm like, I did it again.
5 is utter trash.
4, I try to watch 4. And once the kids from 3 get killed, I'm like,
I don't even remember. I don't even remember five. If you
Dream Child, it's terrible.
If you asked me any specific details of fucking
five, you remember the robot, the biker kill where you turn where like the bike attaches. No, you don't remember that.
Which one was the video game? Because
I don't care.
That's Freddy's Dead.
Okay,
where he's got the power glove. Jesus Christ. He's got the power glove. I'm such a nerd.
That was really nerdy.
Cool. So, remember that era where even fucking Hellraiser went into video games? Like, everything was video games. You do video games and you do space. Like,
That was the formula. No,
or if you started out in the country, you do city and then space. Hence Critters, hence Leprechaun.
Yep.
And all that shit.
Critters in space is something that I completely forgot about.
Oh, it's not good.
I know it's not good. I remember.
Isn't Angela Bassett in Critters in Space?
Oh my God. Yeah. I think you're right.
I think one of the bounty hunters used her because someone brought a magazine on.
DiCaprio and Angela Bassett. I'm telling you. Critters Critters has a solid, but anyway.
Top tier.
Heather, can y'all, I'm a little tipsy if you didn't notice. Heather, what's last name?
Langenkamp?
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't until you announced that you were a little tipsy.
I know, but no one knew.
That's
anyway.
Like the first mode is like, I'm a little tipsy. Yep. There it is. Yeah.
So we were talking about Barbara Crampton earlier and how just like gorgeous and beautiful she is, but her Heather in New Nightmare.
Yes.
She's stunning. She is so stunning. And always in the entire Nightmare franchise, like always.
I mean, I got a chance to meet her at One Monster Mania, and I mean, she's still beautiful.
Yeah.
She's
gorgeous.
Beautiful.
One of my favorite moments in New Nightmare is the moment where she's been having nightmares with Freddy in it.
Yeah.
And it's a different Freddy. Like, it's darker. And
yes.
The makeup on New Nightmare is beast mode, man.
But also, just the tone is a little different, where it's not as jokey. It's a little bit more fucking hardcore.
They went more back to one in that aspect. But, also made it even harder, because he still joked in one. But, they went even darker than one. You know?
And they explain why later. But when she's having these dreams and she has to go on a date talk show, and Robert Englund comes out as Robert Englund.
It's amazing.
And he's like, and you can see the discomfort in that moment for her, where this is like a longtime friend of hers that she does appreciate. She does like this person. They don't have any kind of like individual issues with one another, but because of her challenges with her dreams, she's like shrinking away from this dude on live TV. Was a really cool, like, I just really liked that moment.
Honestly, I got to be at a panel at VCU where Robert Englund was the guest speaker like 20 fucking years ago. And him just talking was fantastic. But halfway through this thing, he just grabs the side of the podium, slams his hand against it, and does the Freddy laugh into the microphone.
Just out of nowhere.
I'm talking, it wasn't totally out of nowhere, but he kind of like built up to it. And when he did it, I mean, it was fucking chills down my back.
Yeah.
Like, childhood trauma comes back and you're like, Jesus Christ, this is fucking Freddy Krueger.
You're like, I'm not going to sleep tonight. Yeah.
Well, like when Hobbit, so and I, anyway. Hobbit and I interviewed
so
him,
cool.
I, if you go back and listen to the interview, I sound like a little fucking child.
I'm
so
sure.
Fucking
how could you
nervous.
Not?
Like, no, yeah. I remember like my voice was shaking. I'm like, this is fucking Freddy Krueger.
Yeah.
Like, well, holy shit.
I was getting the conversation as much as somebody that's trying to keep it together, where I was like, so what are you doing now? Cool. Was it cool working with
dreaming?
Them? Well, that sounds neat. Tell me more. Like, I was not, I was not using the top tier of my interview skills at all.
But it was also meeting fucking Robert Englund.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
And him being like, so he was just like so nonchalant. He was like, we were like, hey, you know, if it's quiet and dies down, you know, and you're not, it's not crazy as far as for your line, would you be willing to do an interview? And he literally had his glass of wine in his hand, looked behind us, and then we looked around. There was no one behind us. He was like, how about now? And we're like, oh, fuck. Here we go.
I had a fucking, like, Samsung Galaxy, like a iPad, basically, like,
mm-hmm.
holding it up, recording the thing, because we didn't expect it that
well,
moment.
Well, how could you say no? Exactly.
We had recording equipment
in the hotel room.
Soundboard in the hotel room.
Who cares? You did what
but he's
you
like,
had
how
to
about
do.
Now? We're like, yep,
yeah,
cool.
Done.
Yeah,
let's here we go.
Yeah.
I did. I was
like,
happy I asked
an
him
hour
about,
to get
I,
my
I did ask him about Fear Clinic. I was happy I got to get my question about Fear Clinic, because I feel like that's an underrated gem that he was in.
Yeah.
If anyone remembers FearNet, yeah. Fear Clinic and all
yeah.
that
oh,
shit.
Yeah, oh yeah, hell yeah. He's got a great horror right. repertoire.
But, yeah, 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 we need to move on.
Well,
you brought up a you brought
I know,
up.
I know, I know.
That's your fault.
He's got totally one more not. Nightmare in him. I want to see him one more time as Freddy. The end. I know he won't, but I could be wishful thinking.
Yes.
He made a joke at the same thing about Freddy versus Geritol. Anyway.
I would watch it.
Right. The tone and the theme and everything that's been going on with the first half of this episode and the classics of horror and some of the deep cuts. I had one for O and I'm scrapping it because a lot of the O horror movies, I'm not that into.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought about this one and I was like, maybe not. Maybe I'll do a different cut. But no, I'm going to actually go back. And we're going to go to 1971, and we're going to bring out the Omega Man.
Holy shit.
Wow.
And abso-fucking-lutely.
Wow.
Is that Charlton Heston?
Fucking
yeah.
Charlton
Yeah, it was
Heston.
Charlton Heston, yeah.
And the reason I'm bringing this up in this one, in this context, isn't necessarily that the Omega Man was, I mean, it's a cool movie. It is, and it's a good movie for the time. But it's also based off of the story I Am Legend.
Yes, yep.
From Richard Matheson.
It was the original adaptation.
Very loosely based.
But it was the original loosely based adaptation.
Well,
of...
no, because before that you had Vincent Price with
Last Man on Earth.
Last Man on Earth.
Yeah.
So Last
That's
Man
the
on
closest
Earth.
Closest adaptation.
Was
actually.
That was really yeah. the,
Last Man
I,
on
that
Earth.
That was...
That mm-hmm. was I Am Legend. Yeah.
Oh, yes. Shit.
Last Man on Earth was I Am Legend.
I didn't know that.
Omega Man was I Am Legend. And of course the Will Smith fan, I Am Legend. But
I Am Legend is one of my hands down favorite horror like novels or stories.
Because also
ever. Hands down.
The fun thing about I Am Legend, and that's why I wanted to bring it in here, was not only if you're looking for like movies, but if you're looking for horror, like for horror history, I Am Legend, read that because that's actually kind of attributed to the father of what became the modern zombie. It wasn't meant to be a zombie movie. It was a vampire. It was a vampire
yes,
story.
Yes.
But the vampires functioned so much like a zombie that it became the reference material for later things and people that built the whole like Walking Dead. You know, they were only able to come out at night. Yeah, this, that, and the other. But like, built that strange like Walking Dead
and that herd
like,
mentality.
Dark herd. Yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
Respect.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, so that's why amazing. I wanted to bring this movie in and bring it into the fold.
That's
on this.
Fucking awesome.
It sounds. It just felt right for tonight.
Because it is. Tonight's. No, it yeah. totally it's, was. Like I was not expecting Omega Man to be brought up, but right. that's fucking awesome.
But so that's why I brought it in. Fucking Charlton Heston, the Omega Man. Yeah.
The Omega Man is really special to me personally because it's one of the reasons that I got into horror because my mother, who is not a
You're
horror.
You're like, I'm into blue faces.
No, my mom, who is not a horror fan, but I am the youngest of two older brothers, and my mom was the oldest of three brothers, and all of our brothers loved horror, and the Omega Man is what my mom cites as her movie that scared the shit out of her, and she always referenced it when I was a kid, and it piqued my interest and it made me get into horror. So it's a special place
Aww.
In my heart. Mm.
That's so that's sweet.
It really
rad.
Is. Yeah,
I am,
it's cool. So I'm
so, glad
so
I
happy
changed.
You brought
I'm
it up.
So glad
Dude,
I changed
no,
up.
I,
so
and,
happy
I, you brought I, it up. I can't speak for the rest of the panelists, but I am too. Like that is a fucking amazing an amazing film.
That's what that hits such a clear like center for me on what I love about horror is that fear, the idea of fear, even if you aren't truly
subjective.
Afraid,
yeah,
it's truly subjective, but like playing with that element of fear, it hits like smells do, where like it transports you to a very specific place and time in your life in a way that other genres don't. It absolutely has
You're
this
so
time
right.
capsule element.
You remember the first moment you were terrified of what you saw on screen.
Yep.
Yeah. It's absolutely. Member berries.
It is member
it's
berries.
Member berries. I mean, it really is.
It is.
It's member berries. Yeah.
Oh, hugs.
That's awesome.
it's little scary
it's
hugs.
Little scary hugs.
Aw, they're so cute.
How do we make the horror one cute?
I mean, but that,
yeah,
that,
I mean,
trauma,
but,
anxiety. I don't know. Yeah, yeah. Just kidding.
All those. Yeah. All those. That's 100%. That's exactly what it was.
You could do a whole goddamn episode on like the moment you realized yeah. you were terrified, but you also loved horror.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like that. Yeah. No.
It's almost like horror brought you into the element of like, oh shit, you feel the same way you do as potentially outside of that in real life and not focused on a film, but then you're able to find peace in that because you understood that, okay, well, this is fiction, and that feeling, it kind of helps you balance that feeling of anxiety in the outside world from like, okay, I feel the same thing inside, right? Well, does that make sense?
No. I'm actually, to follow that up, is that it's no surprise to me that, you know, my friends and the people that I know that are big fans of horror, myself included, that I've dealt with anxiety or depression or elements of feeling outside of the normal are drawn to horror, because what horror suggests is that that's normal to feel that fear. And there is a chance you're going to make it. All odds.
I can be
the final girl.
I don't know how many times you're rooting for that. You're get the fuck away from him.
All of my friggin' neurodivergent friends. That's why horror hits in a very different way, because you're like, no, they have to make it. Because like
you're crushed. You're like broken.
Fundamentally invested in a real like visceral way with the main person.
And like to this day, any new horror movie I watch, when they stop beating, shooting, stabbing, I'm like, don't stop. What are you doing? Kill the motherfucker. No. Like, I want you.
Good enough. Let's go, kids.
Yeah. I was like, no. Fucking wreck his ass.
Double tap, motherfucker.
God damn it.
Same thing. Oh, like, my God.
Anyway.
Okay, so Omega Man. Let's...
Sorry.
I love that entry.
I didn't know that was going to spark that kind of conversation. Holy shit.
Katie, let's move on to you.
Yeah,
you
got pee. Yeah, absolutely. So I am going to bring up a film from Canada. And what I love about this film is that
it is Canadian.
Yeah. That's what I love about it. No, it's very claustrophobic. It takes a really, really fresh approach on the virus.
I think sub-genre. I know this film.
It's sure a movie called Pontypool.
Yeah. Pontypool is such a cool. Yeah.
Pontypool is a really cool movie, and it starts out, you are in literally one location for the entire movie, and it's a radio station.
Talk about a cheap
idea. Yeah, I think low budget might be my theme of the night. Yeah, but
here's the thing. When they had to use budget, they could, because the plot didn't require
shifts. Yeah. It's so well done. You're listening to this DJ, and he's you know, playing songs and reporting what's going on.
And he's kind of like hard conservative kind of.
Yeah, he's a little. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You're a little like, you don't know if you're sympathizing with the character of the DJ for sure. But as you're listening to him, you're realizing that as he's like talking to the correspondents on the ground, like something's going on outside. You don't really know what's happening. And then it escalates and it escalates and it escalates. And then you realize what's going on outside of the radio station. And you're like, oh, shit, this is horrifying. And then you find out why it's happening. And you're like, what? Like, I've never even considered this before. So I think it's a really cool take on, again, like the viral horror aspect. And then I felt like it's very claustrophobic. Great indie horror. So Pontypool. Check it out.
It's a heady approach to the idea of infection.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, exactly. How
things can be infected. Exactly.
It's not just like, oh, blood's on me. Guess I'm infected. There's something more.
Yes.
Kind of existential.
Right.
In its approach. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I got to say, before going to my pick, you are the reason why either Hunter or I watched Pontypool. You brought that up on a Madness.
Like, yeah.
Oh yeah, I fucking loved it. Like you brought that up on episode.
Yeah, Pontypool's great.
I think it was like the end of the year for the first year we did. We did like reviews. I think you just watched it.
Our favorite films.
Yeah. And it is really. Yeah, you're right. It is very claustrophobic at times.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, that always fucks with me.
Yeah.
I don't like as being a wider person. I don't like small spaces.
Yeah.
Ugh. And like just. With the vastness going on out in the world at that time for the film, like that even this radio station felt like a small space. So my letter was Q, and Q
was the dreaded Q.
Well, no, see, I was like, "Fuck, what am I going for Q?" And I look back and I realized we did the first one in this series, but I personally do like the sequel, so I did go with Quarantine 2, Terminal.
Okay.
Great sequel.
There's a lot of body horror, a lot of body melt in that movie that really wasn't in the first one.
That's a word you don't get to use very often. Body melt.
It's body, dude. Right? There's body melt in that shit. It's like, bleh, bleh.
I had to call that out.
Yeah, it's that's what it is. It's just a movie. It takes that and crosses the boundary
some kind
with
of
that
cream that you can get in a store. Like
these are body melt finger.
Now get some body melt.
Bath and Body Works.
Yeah,
it was a solid sequel. I mean, was it the first one? Technically no, but for what it upped to the ante in the practical effects realm. Yeah, I mean, that shit was fucking awesome.
I enjoyed it as well. I think it was a really well done sequel, and for that to be an adaptation of the Wreck series, I didn't expect much, right? So I thought like we were gifted with that first
with the
quarantine
first one, which
movie,
was great,
which was wonderful, and then for that to have a really great solid sequel to even that was just I agree.
I was like, shit. All right, I'm gonna take it. I'm gonna take it and roll with it.
Yep.
All right.
Did they do a three? For quarantine, or probably there's probably like Sci-Fi Channel or Asylum.
Oh, quarantine 3. Mr. Body Melt.
We don't count those.
Look out! It's Mr. Body Melt.
It's like Wiggly Waggly Wavely Arm Man. They're just like flesh peeling off of them, like
and goo
just flying.
It's like going to a Gwar show.
It's just like old fat dude that looks like Pizza the Hut.
All right.
So for R, I actually went with a very recent film that I have just recently had a chance to watch. It's on Shudder. It's a really interesting take on the idea of like the second coming, like or the end of days, I guess. It's a movie called Revealer.
Oh, I've never heard of this.
I haven't heard of that.
Okay.
No. Tell us
the basic gist is there's this, it's set in the 80s. And there's this like kind of punk rock, like nudie bookstore dancer that where you have the clear window between where she dances and people come in and they throw a couple bucks in the thing and make
whack
her dance.
Yeah. I mean, just,
And she's coming into work. Pre-Ensuboka. So she's coming into work and there's a bunch of, Christian protesters in front of her business being like, boobs are bad, you know, with the
that's
signs
cool.
and stuff.
This is a recent movie?
Yeah, that's
neat.
And so she has a one-off conversation with one of the protesters that's clearly there all the time. Like, they know each other by first name. They're like, oh, yeah, cool, great, you're here. Like,
that's interesting.
And then she goes into her work. And then as she's dancing, there's, like, an earthquake and weird shit starts happening. And then basically it's, like, the end of days outside. And she ends up in her little porn shop with just like the one person that got inside, which was the woman that she had a conversation.
Woman, yeah.
So it's her as this like stripper in a nudie shop on one side of the glass. And then like this, like conservative Christian woman that condemns her for being a harlot on the other. And then they go on this fucking adventure together.
What?
And then they talk about like, they're basically having a conversation about the differences between their opinions while they're fighting against
the end of the world.
The end of the world.
Oh my god, I'm so obsessed with this.
Yeah, and it's definitely low budget, but not in a like super low budget way. Like it's shot well. The lighting's great. The acting is decent. Like it's done decently, but they make some very smart choices on how to frame everything. And there's kind of slightly a twist at the end. You can kind of see coming, but it doesn't matter because it's a really interesting take on the end of days kind of
thing.
And I really, really enjoyed it.
Wow.
Cool.
Neat.
I think you were the only one here who's seen it. So.
Oh, great.
Yeah, I know we're all captivated. Really,
and then 100% on Shudder because I saw it like literally like the other day on Shudder.
Yeah, so you're going to be watching this with all of us this spooky season.
Okay,
yeah,
so cool. That's great.
Fuck yes. That's what I'm here for.
I will be watching that shit. Yeah, fuck
yeah. Yeah, definitely. Totally watching that.
All right. Well, kicking it over to End of Days and Nonsense, I guess. I'm up again. And I am going to go for a little bit of a slapstick here and a lot of fun. And
the wild ride for the letter S that is Shaun of the Dead.
Yes.
Fuck yes.
Yes.
And again, another film that I just couldn't believe had been brought up for S.
Yeah. I was digging. Like, I was like there's the no fuck? Way we didn't fucking talk about this
nope,
movie.
That,
I was like, son of a bitch.
It was ripe for picking.
It blows my mind.
What a genius. Just
oh, it's so good.
Strange, dry comedy, dystopian fucking zombie film. I love a good dry
and
comedy.
The yeah. ultimate love letter to George Romero.
It yeah. really yes. is.
To the point where George Romero was such a fan that he got a Shaun of the Dead button that he wore on his little tactical vest that he oh, wore when he directed.
That's the cutest.
And he got Edgar Wright and Simon Pegg to show up in Land of the Dead, and there's zombies
yes,
in that
yes,
movie.
Yes, they are. You're absolutely right.
He invited them to come out to be in Land of the Dead because he was so impressed with Shaun of the Dead. Like that. Imagine being those the director and the fucking main character and being a love letter to your like one of your favorite horror directors, and he's like loved it. Please be
and
in my
I'm
next
gonna
movie.
Wear a button.
Like
in
I'm
it.
Gonna wear
yeah.
the button.
Like, you could like give me an Oscar, and I'd be like, I don't give a shit. So, I was in yeah. the movie and had the, a button. Fuck you.
Yeah, no, yeah. exactly. The director recognized me and brought me into his fucking movie.
Yeah. Oh,
fuck your Oscar.
Nothing
get wrecked. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Get wrecked.
No, I don't. I mean, I could sit there and talk about this movie forever. I could.
It's such a good movie.
Fucking go so off good. On tangents, but I don't even think I need to. I think the movie. Just watch. If you've never watched this movie, please go fucking watch it and like really enjoy just the true love of a fucking zombie movie in a dystopian reality. And fuck, just go watch the goddamn
movie. Go watch
this
the
is,
movie.
We were talking about The Gate earlier, which was one of your other choices. Right. And I was talking about how that's a great movie to introduce to your kids or someone who's not really into horror. And I think that Shaun of the Dead is another movie that transcends. It's like if you have friends or family or whoever, it's like, why are you so into horror? Are you a weirdo? It's like, watch Shaun of the Dead. Yeah. You're going to like it. There's something for everyone. Damn it.
You're right.
Like Shaun of the Dead is that movie.
Yeah,
for sure.
You're absolutely. There's horror moments, but there's
it's
enough.
It's Shania Twain of horror. It crosses genres, is what I'm saying. Like
that you can't. No,
I
you
love
can't.
Shania, but I mean,
I'm not going to sign off.
I know
on the
you're
Shania
not. But I do because
of...
I love her. I mean that. I really mean that. I mean that oh, genuinely. God. I'm sorry. Cut this shit out.
No. This is definitely it's in there.
But I mean
it's
that
like,
lovingly.
I like to consider myself the Tay Tay of murder. Like, what does that even mean?
Like... I'm just saying, like, there are people who love. Fucking that don't love horror and would love Shaun of the Dead. There are people that don't love country. They love Shania Twain. Is all I'm saying.
Oh,
no! Y'all are looking at me like okay. I'm.
That's a
okay.
that's a fair there, that's a fair statement. That's a fair statement.
There isn't a force in this world that would get me to cut that and post edit. That's incredible, and I appreciate you more for having said it.
Yes.
So no, like, we're good.
That was a solid statement. You're completely right in that. Actually, you're, like yes, 100%, 100%. Just
but also there's something like in recent watching of Shaun of the Dead that I didn't get initially was that like there was a conversation in that movie that beyond the zombies that is super important is that like as you grow and get a better handle on your life. You're going to find a point where your friends don't or some
yeah.
friends don't.
Oh yeah. And, I mean, yeah, that's a huge message.
The message at the end of that is that like, it's not to, love them. Not to hold. Yeah, exactly. It's not to hold them to the same regard that you hold yourself is to understand that everybody has their own journey and to respect them for their own individual journey and to not make your journey their journey.
It just so happened that his
keep him in a shed.
Also keep your friends in a shed. Yeah, that's
yes. That's right. It's just like he just keeps his friend's journey in a shed.
Yeah,
with an Xbox.
Yeah, there we go. Cool.
But you're right. That was a message. That I think you upon first viewing when it came out, which we all saw it. I mean, fuck, I was 20.
Oh, yeah, like that was like...
I was 19 when that movie came out in 03, yeah.
I was like 2021, yeah, so... Yeah. I was just able to drink a pint in a pub.
Yeah.
It was 2003, so yeah. Yeah, it's crazy.
Such a good soundtrack, too.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Kill the Queen, what? No, the music! Great. Fucking great.
All right.
Yeah, now. Very... Ooh.
All right, Katie, you're up.
Yeah, hey. Let's go. Let's do this. Let's knock it out.
Moving on.
What we got?
T. Okay. This, I've talked about a couple other movies that like genuinely scared the shit out of me. And I think this one, more than all the other ones I talked about, this one really fucked me up. It is also a foreign horror movie. It's from Argentina. It's a supernatural movie. The movie is called Terrified. Terrified.
Yeah,
Terrified.
It's on Shudder. It's
I've
on Shudder.
I've not seen it.
Holy shit. This movie actually fucked me up. So the whole premise of it is that there's a neighborhood that is experiencing paranormal and supernatural entities and situations, but the way that they depict this is just visceral. It is violent. It is extremely creepy. Even from the first 5 minutes, I was like, holy fuck, what am I watching? And then it just built it from there. And there is one scene in particular that has to do with a dead child. And it just sits with you. And it doesn't relent. It's like, you're going to think that this scene is ending, and it is not. I'm just going to stick on this frame, and you're going to sit with it, and it is fucking scary. And I remember watching it, and I was like looking away. I was watching this by myself, and my eyes were like diverting because I was like, I'm uncomfortable, and I don't know what to do. And that's the reaction I had to this movie. So I was fucking terrified. That's the name of the movie. Of this movie, and it's on Shudder, and I think it's also on Prime. So, literally, you might watch it and think that it's not scary at all. But for me, again, fear is subjective. This is like one of the movies that I think has scared me probably the most within the last 10 years.
Great, 100%.
I can agree with that. I remember I kept going past this film.
Is it like a year and a half, wide eyes or something?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So it's like a very gaunt face, like emaciated, and
it just sits with it.
It goes
like,
hard.
You're like, just move on, and it doesn't. No. And you're like, God,
it's a great film. Yeah. Fuck yeah, fuck yeah, it's a great film.
All right, lowdown. Yep. You are up.
I am up for the Hey, you guys.
Not a horror film. That's not from horror films.
This is why that's why I'm mad we're not filming this, because the look I'm giving you.
I've had a lot of cider today.
You're like a mix between like Goodfellas and like the Goonies.
The Goonies. Yeah.
I don't know. It's like you're just a bad Joe Pesci.
Hey, I've got apple liver right now.
I got apple liver.
Yeah, it's.
I snorted. Oh,
yes, we got the snort. Yes, that's my goal every episode that you're on with anything is to get the snort. All right.
Yeah. Sorry. So I'm thick with apple liver, so you can just
okay. Whatever. Shut up.
That might be we might have to change the name of the
thick
episode.
Thick with apple liver.
Thick with
grossest
apple
thing
liver.
I've ever heard.
That's amazing. I'm just saying, it broke her. Holy shit!
Lowdown.
I don't think it got enough credit, the credit that it deserved when it came out. It was a film called The Unknown.
I didn't see it, but I know what you're talking about.
So it's basically
I can see the title with the font.
Yeah,
yeah.
Right, and a little image.
Yeah,
like mammogram-ish image.
Tell me about it.
So, brief synopsis. I know we're time is getting close, but anyway. Couple's having trouble conceiving. New couple, and they go to this doctor who has this procedure that is supposed to be guaranteed. Yada yada, and it's new, and it's this and that. And she does get pregnant, right? And but then things start to happen through the pregnancy.
Kid's a little off.
When they go back to the doctor, he's kind of playing it off like, oh, no, it's fine. There's a new procedure. Isn't that anyway? I really don't want to spoil it, but I think it was a solid film. I think it came out in like 90. I think it was mid 90s.
Do you remember who the lead actress was? I can't remember.
I don't, but I do remember the head doctor who led the procedure was James Caan. So he played Frank in Return of the Living Dead. So he was the boss of Return of the Dead.
All right, yeah.
Cool.
And so he looked relatively young old because he was old in Return of the Living Dead, but he didn't look that far off from it. So I was gonna say, I feel like it was like a mid-90s film.
That's a George C. Scott late 90s. Model.
Oh, no, George C. Scott's on his own. He just stands.
I love him.
He stands up here, man. Fucking baller status. That's what he was. All right, anyway. It's a solid film. I definitely remember checking it out. I did not check to see where it was streaming, but it is a great film. Yeah, I enjoyed it.
Great.
Yeah.
You're up, Hobbit.
This next one is a major fuck you to everybody, including myself. Like, I didn't enjoy this movie.
Why did you pick it then?
Because it's like an absurd thing that needs to be seen. And I think Katie might actually get obsessed with this movie. If not already familiar with it, which is very possible. Amy Heckerling is the director of this. If you are unfamiliar.
Clueless.
As the director of Clueless. This stars Alicia Silverstone, Christian Ritter, Larry Whitmore, Todd Barry, Sigourney Weaver, Justin Kirk from Weeds, the brother-in-law or whatever from Weeds, Wallace Shawn, Princess Bride, Never Start a Land War in the Malcolm McDowell is in this, like the Dan Stevens is in this.
So it's got a lot of star power, but you're saying you don't like it.
The star power is incredible in this movie. This is a movie called Vamps.
Yeah, no, I don't like that movie.
It is basically a modern day version of Clueless, but with vampires. Two female vampires in modern day New York City are faced with daunting romantic possibilities.
No, it's Sex in the City, but vampires.
It has Kristen Ritter.
It's got Kristen Ritter and Alicia Silverstone. Are vamps it's really, really bad that they are whining and dining folks and sucking necks and having fun. But Alicia Silverstone falls in love with Dan Stevens.
Of course.
And she wants to start a relationship. And Christian Ritter's like, yeah, like you don't get to like date a human, dude. And she like puts on bronzer to meet the family who turns out come from a long line of fucking vampire killers, big surprise. And then she has to like fight the vampire council run by Sigourney Weaver.
I'm gonna love this movie. So I'm so excited to watch it.
Does this turn into Buffy?
Yeah, no. This is not even close to like this is bad, but so it's beyond. It's way pinker than Buffy. Like it's
so you're saying it's worth the watch. It's Buffy, but Victoria's Secret.
This is like if Buffy is Walden Books, this is Claire's Accessories.
Claire's Accessories.
Why did you watch this?
It was free streaming on like Plex or something, and we saw the kid who was in it, and we were like, okay, we have to check this out.
I watched it. I was drunk.
Yeah, no, I also...
He survived.
I, too, was also inebriated, my good sir. So, this is not a good movie. This is not why I'm suggesting it. I feel like this is almost like a... Like, scientifically, you need to, as a horror fan, like, watch this film with booze or whatever... influential substances you want to have at your disposable.
Don't watch it sober.
And just look at it like an artifact in time, that it's just the thing that exists.
It exists, and we're just gonna
get to know that it's out there in the world. And for V, which is like one of the most coveted letters of 31 Days of Halloween, I went with fucking vamps.
I can't wait. You, I'm already obsessed.
Son of a bitch.
I'm gonna report back.
All right, literally. Fine.
Please
fine.
Do. Honestly.
Oh. So I've got a. So I'm glad that he actually brought up Vamps, because that's more of a piece of garbage than the movie I'm about to bring
up. Oh, great.
Up. Oh, awesome. What are you going with? You got W? What are you going with
I here? Got W. And honestly, I am amazed that we have gotten this far through an episode and a half of GUI without mentioning a movie from this man.
I want to bring up our good friend Nicholas fucking Cage
in
The Wicker Man.
Wicker Man.
2006
The bees, not the bees.
How did it burn?
But please, let's go.
So bonkers.
The original concept was a fucking bonkers ass weird hippie movie.
But it was good.
And they fucking like turned it around, made this fucking bonkers movie. And honestly, I'm going to go on and say, like, this kind of accelerated Nicolas Cage's career into horror, which has brought us some amazing fucking
Mandy, Color Out of Space.
Willy's Wonderland.
Yes. Yeah, dude. Like,
a pig. Like, fucking. Pig. What the
I just watched that. That movie's fucking awesome. That movie does not deserve to be as good as it was.
Right.
It
was great.
Have you seen Pig?
Yeah, Pig is awesome. It's
fucking awesome.
Yeah,
fucking
awesome.
Nicolas Cage. I really feel like this is what. Like, I look back at, like, the history. Like, yeah, he was in things like Vampire's Kiss and shit like that.
Which
but, like,
I love.
Which is great. But, like, as a movie that really brought him into the spotlight as just a bonkers fucking actor, think about the timeline.
Yeah, like, I am. Like, I'm putting it together. Like,
everyone fucking hated this movie when it came out. And we're like, oh, this sucks. This is crap. Nicolas Cage sucks. Blah, blah, blah. But now I look back at it and I'm like, no. This was quintessential, like, fucking Nicolas Cage losing his fucking shit on this fucking weird-ass island with a bunch of weird shit practicing Midsommar fucking tradition nonsensical stuff. I feel like it actually kind of is a pilot movie.
For what we get now.
Yeah, he like, absolutely.
He like, almost, and you could tell he was almost, like, the pilot because he was honing his, like... losing his shit. Like there's scenes in that movie where he loses his shit, but is it the wrong? I feel like it's the wrong time.
It is. It is. Really.
But
is.
Like I think that he had so to. Great. I think he had to learn that.
Yeah.
Because the only movie he really had before that where he got to like lose his shit was like Face Off.
Yeah.
That was it.
Because of his movies were not, super like serious action films and shit like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, we get quintessential transition of Nick Cage becoming. Almost a horror icon now.
No, I mean, I give him that. Yes, I give him that. He's.
So that's why I picked.
That's fucking awesome. Okay. Okay.
That's why I picked this bonkers fucking movie.
That movie
we did
so
do an audio commentary there, on that you can go back and listen to.
The problem with that is that you got to make sure you have the extended cut version where it has the like, how did it burn? And like, not the bees stuff. Like the extended cuts of that because we did the extended cut version and also... Maybe that's the version we did. It had a double-sided DVD, so...
It did.
I always get confused on which side means what side you're watching.
But that's part of the fun.
They usually tell you.
That's part of the fun.
In the center where the hole is,
really,
it says,
really
like...
small.
Theatrical or...
But it says, like, side A and side B. Yeah. You're like, okay, but that doesn't tell me which side this side is.
Side B's.
It's whatever side you're...
Side B's.
Whatever
Jesus
side
Christ.
You're... That was good.
Yeah.
As a beekeeper, I appreciate that. It's whatever side you're reading, that's the one you want to face down.
Yeah, towards the laser.
That's what I figured, and I'm pretty sure that's what our audio commentary is. This was from a million years ago,
like end of 15, early 16.
Yeah,
mid 16,
like 16 maybe.
I think I did like a Yogi impression about the bees at some point in
2006.
Honey. I don't know. 2000.
Oh, no, the movie.
No.
Okay.
But our audio commentary.
Oh, okay. I was like, what?
But no, that's a beloved film on the GY scale for sure.
So,
Had to bring it. Thank you.
All right, Katie, we're super curious what you're bringing to the table for X on this one.
We have no idea.
Nobody knows.
It's X-Men First Class.
Yeah. This very rich letter for horror films that you have so many choices.
I will say another film that you're going with and some nice titties in that film.
There's such good titties in that
film. There are nice titties in that film.
And not only are they good titties, but it's like they're titties that maybe you weren't supposed to see, if that makes sense.
It does.
Because Brittany Snow, okay, first of all, obviously it's X. It was a great year to be assigned the letter X. So thank y'all for that
movie.
Gift.
That is so good.
Thank y'all for that gift of assigning me the letter X in the year that X came out. but to go back to the titties. But seriously, Brittany Snow, I fucking love her. Pitch Perfect. I followed Brittany Snow forever, and she went for it. And she was like, yeah, I'll show you my tits, and they're great.
Are you saying she's a fucking sex symbol?
I think she is an absolute sex symbol, and I love her. And I could have so many more comments on that. But
she was phenomenal.
She's phenomenal.
And to do dual roles.
Yeah.
Like, the way she did it. I will tell you, though, I know it was her in the makeup, but I never need in my life ever to hear a geriatric say, come in my pussy, ever again. I never need to fucking hear that again in my life.
No, but
that was so fucking disturbing.
That's kind of the brilliance of this movie is that I saw so many men that look worse than the grandmother naked.
Oh, yeah.
That would look worse than her naked.
That thing
bitching
that they
about having
it.
To yeah. having to see a grandmother naked.
Oh yeah.
No. Like, it's not the naked part. It's just I don't want to hear a woman of that age in that voice and that tone that comes with that age say, come in my pussy. I don't.
But isn't that the brilliance of the movie? So disturbing.
It's nothing negative against the film. It's just me personally.
Yeah.
In my sexual proclivities, never want to. So I like hearing that, just not from old ladies.
That, you say
like,
that now.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah, but see, it also opens up a conversation about, like, what is so jarring about, like, the elderly being sexual? Like, and that's what I had a challenge with, where I felt guilty about my very visceral, like, reaction.
I had the same reaction, and I agreed.
I think there's a very, very good reason to be disgusted by the moment when she's laying in bed with the other... with the woman that's sleeping and stuff, because
yes.
that's a consent thing. That's like a very like
you mean, yeah.
That's
you mean
it was so creepy.
The same actor,
yeah,
same actor.
Yeah,
so good.
Mia,
so good.
Goth,
the fact
right?
that
Mia
there's
Goth.
Such
yeah.
a, like a sexualizing of like an elderly person, and like why is that affecting me in such a visceral way? And I had to deconstruct that in a very real way. Which
I
mean,
same way?
The best horror that
does that. Yeah.
So, and I came up with a pretty decent answer, is that like. Society suggests that the elderly are to be held up as this non-sexual version of what we can of wisdom and insight,
yeah,
that aren't sexual creatures, and this kind of waves the flag of Viagra and says like, nah, your grandpa,
yeah, fuck that.
Grandparents are
fucking, yeah,
and throws it in the face of youth being like, yeah, get used to it, like wrinkled dicks and tits are yeah. here to stay, and it's something that
and
makes
I loved
us
being confronted with that, because I was yeah. in theater and I was like, oh, I'm so uncomfortable, but also like, this is fine and I don't know how to feel yeah. and this is weird. Yeah. So yeah
the best art is supposed to make you feel confused about right. why you feel the way yeah. you do about it.
Yeah,
like, yeah, so X fucking nailed that shit yeah. very hard.
I think for me, it was just the fact that I'm not attracted to that.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Yeah, but I've seen plenty of naked people I'm not attracted to in my life.
Right.
So.
Yeah, and I'm all, and I mean, yeah, I don't, I kind of probably have a similar response if I'm not attracted to you and I see you naked. Just saying.
No, I mean, I've seen,
like, plenty, I'm probably like, eh,
I've seen plenty of people naked in life and also in movies where I'm like, nah. But I don't have this visceral, like, ugh, kind of response
yeah,
to
I
it.
Yeah,
so.
I felt uncomfortable and creeped yeah. out. And I was like, yeah. why? Yeah.
I mean, probably the music being like,
ooh. Yeah,
and the fact that she's, like, running away from being murdered might have had something to do with it. I'm just saying.
It's yeah. totally the tone.
Yeah.
I mean, definitely, like, seen old people naked and been like, I mean, whatever.
But, like, the fact she's crawling out from under the bed after listening to them and getting smacked with a mattress while they're fucking... And then, like, I mean, escaping death. Like, I'm sure that added to it. If,
oh, 100%.
You know, absolutely. If you were like...
Situational.
It's situational. I think I think it's situational.
But I loved it. I think it was a return to a real fucking grindhouse.
Yeah, the whole film. Yeah. The whole film was
the
just
fucking,
solid as fuck
like,
with
aesthetic
that.
Aesthetic I am
yeah.
obsessed with. I crave. Yeah. Inject it into my vagina. I loved it. Like the weird subplot of the alligator that comes into play.
Yeah, that
was
I
so
loved
good.
It, though. I
that was
it.
So good.
But it was just like, cool, we have this killer alligator we feed people to. anyway, bye.
And then I just loved
never... it. But they introduced her when she went skinny dipping earlier, so you knew it was there. Yeah. And then like,
I have not seen Pearl, but maybe that comes into play with Pearl.
I'm so excited about Pearl.
I am. And then they announced
there's a trilogy with
there's
Maxine.
A sequel, right?
Yeah,
with
Maxine.
Yeah.
So anyway, Ty West. Phenomenal director. We'll probably be talking about him in 15, 20 years as a auteur. Like, I would say that now. Like, he's great. Yeah, so
solid as fuck.
Yeah.
So awesome.
Great year to be assigned the letter X.
Of course. Yeah. Of course.
That's so easy for me to write on the schedule. I just literally push X and then cool.
There you go. Does that work for you? Are you good? Did you save it? Make sure it's saved because you don't forget.
Lowdown. You are Y.
I am, and I have... A fun film for me. I don't know what everyone feels about it, but it's You Might Be the Killer.
I love You Might Be the Killer.
See?
Oh.
Such a smart slasher.
It's a good slasher, right? It's a good slasher. And so basically the premise is, I don't remember if they're teens or if they're early 20s or early 20s playing teens. Yeah. One of the two.
Whatever.
Yeah, it's how that works. They go to a camp. And obviously, shit starts to happen. One of the main characters blacks out, and he actually blacks out multiple times throughout the film, if I remember correctly. And one of the things that he references is, like, you know, over a century ago, somebody cut a mask out of this chunk of a cursed tree.
He's telling the story.
Yeah.
He's like, the reason why this is haunted. Yeah.
So the killer wears this mask made out of wood, but the mask was carved from this tree that was cursed by a tribe from 100 years ago, and it's just this like body count fucking it transfers people throughout the film,
but it keeps you guessing. I mean, obviously the title is You Might Be the Killer, but it's like, who is the killer? But
it bounces between the people. Right?
Yeah.
Like,
you know, it's one of those things where you're like, you don't know what's going to happen next. It's got the guy from Cabin in the Woods, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. With the nerd?
Yeah.
Frank Kranz.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. That movie's great.
I enjoyed the shit out of it.
Double feature with Behind the Mask, The Rise of Leslie Vernon.
Yes.
Like, it's like those smart slasher movies.
Yeah.
Like, it's really, oh, I good really like call. You Might Be the Killer.
That's a good fucking call.
Solid.
Yes. Yes.
I had forgotten about that movie. Like, it just kind of, it was like, all right, this is good. And it just kind of like drifted off into the ether.
Yeah. I get that because it's like you've really got...
But it's got good references too. Allison Hannigan is in that, right?
Yeah. Yes.
I forgot about that.
Yes.
Yeah.
So Allison Hannigan and Fran Kranz, I guarantee one of the producers is somebody that worked on any Joss Whedon thing they're both Whedon alumni.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
All right.
Which we're cool with. Thank you.
Yeah. Fuck yeah.
I mean, fuck Joss Whedon, but like he's made some really cool stuff. Yeah.
Facts.
I'm at Z. We still got some Halloween choices. Will, you got a numbered one.
I've got a number.
For the 27th of Halloween, and then 28th, 29th, 30th, and 31st we got. So we're not done yet, but for Z, it's got to be zombie related. I actively looked for horror movies that had Z as the starter for it, and there are so few and far between that aren't zombie related that... I actually decided to pass up a lot of zombie-related movies that are the clear choices that we haven't done before to go with one that I think is fun and indie and low-budget and enjoyable, but isn't the first thing you would choose for a letter Z.
Literally seems like the entire theme of this episode, right?
Zombie Honeymoon.
Okay.
Oh, yes!
Yeah, you've seen Zombie Honeymoon?
What a fucking movie.
I have no idea.
What a wonderful
movie.
Yeah. It's a fun movie. The gist is this couple, they go on a honeymoon on the beach. They're in love. They're having a great time. This zombie comes out of the ocean and attacks the husband. And he starts turning. And as he's turning, it's that zombie where he's aware of himself. Like, that even... when he's in full, like, I want to eat people mode, it's like Return of the Living Dead style where he knows about shit. So there's this escalation of his symptoms and the wife adjusting to that and it's a really interesting indie. Like, it's funny. It's very funny. It's slapsticky and gory, but it's also having that conversation There's about like, what are you willing to deal with in a relationship before it's too much.
There's That's like a, really
there's like
awesome.
A, there's actually yeah. like a level of romanticism to the film.
Oh, it's actually very romantic.
And
yeah.
it's, oh, no, that's a good
No, guy. That's a very, I did not expect the description to go that way.
Yeah.
That's very intriguing.
No, great. It's schlocky and it's
yeah, gory but
and
it's stuff, also but, like,
but there's this, to us, you there's know. This underlying heart to it that I really appreciated that separates itself from a lot of the zombie movies of that ilk, you know, that of yeah. that of that I don't know, the budget or production value.
I've never heard of this and I'm so excited.
It was big. I think it came out around probably like 2002, 2003 okay. and it got a minor bump with like festivals and stuff and it, within the horror community and stuff, but it never really fully engaged like some of their horror movies do. But yeah, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was an interesting take on the genre and had a different conversation than others do.
I feel like it definitely also kind of was paved the way for like there's other zombie romance movies. And
let's not talk about Warm Bodies.
Such a thing,
Warm
Bodies. Yeah.
But like
there's others, movie. Yeah.
There's what the fuck's that TV show that fucking or not TV show but series Drew Barrymore like
Santa Clarita Diet.
Yeah.
That movie's like, that series is
that
hilarious.
Actually I would say is if they didn't see Zombie Honeymoon, that has a very similar kind of vibe to
right.
It's very funny. It's about how to exist while dealing with this.
Where is it? Where's the line where you know that your partner like is doing this because of like it? Well, it's a conversation that if it's not eating humans, it's like a neurodivergent thing, or like where is the line on what you're able or not able to deal with within a relationship?
Mm-hmm.
And it's done in a very slapsticky,
such interesting
way.
Premise.
Yeah. So I thought that there was a lot of insight and conversation that happened in this very dumb, fun, indie zombie flick. So,
Can I just really say, like, if you're a new GUI listener or if you're a longtime GUI listener, like, there are so many movies that we have talked about between this episode and the previous episode when we were introducing the calendar of spooky movies. Like, we have really taken it there for the
I agree.
Underrated or like maybe not
was
under-discovered.
It last year we decided to do a two-parter instead of
the
made a big difference that we have time to actually talk about these movies.
So, last year was the first year where we decided to do it that way. Before it was trying to cram it in, it's like you get to basically say it and
So I guess as a guest I'm saying like I've learned so much and have so many recommendations that you guys have shared. I'm excited.
And you too. I mean, you've
Well, I'm going to disappoint now.
No, oh, you haven't.
Go. Let's bring it.
No, I'm about to
disappoint.
Okay,
Mario Bava.
Now, this is the 27th of October. This is the number.
Yep. Lowdown's going to hate me here because we've already talked about this fucking movie. And I'm going to go with Rob Zombie 31.
No,
that movie.
I love 31.
It's so bad.
I don't care what y'all say. I love 31.
It's terrible. It.
No, that's the point.
Oh.
It's so terrible. Where else are you going to get a Spanish-speaking Nazi little person?
That was the best part of the movie. That was the best part of the movie.
There was a weird cult action. There was titties.
No,
it was
the Spanish-speaking midget Nazi.
That was
fucking, and I've seen him in other horror movies since then. But
I disagree. I love that movie, and I fucking love Richard Brake, and I love his head in that movie.
I think I love it. I think his dialogue was written so clumsily.
I love the end scene between him and Sherry Moon Zombie where they are stand still together.
I never bothered.
I love the makeup of Richard Brake. I love him.
That breakout role for him was advertised as something that had a lot to do with fucking creepy clowns.
I was told
later that the clowns are actually very minimal in the plot.
Yes.
It is, yeah.
But also, the people that I knew that were excited as fuck about this movie and literally dressed up as clowns to go to the movie to see it, were like desperately disappointed.
I will be the first to say that people hate this movie.
There's horrible good movies, and then there's just bad movies.
This is a bad fucking movie.
It is bad, but I really liked Doomhead. It was a weird. I love Doomhead.
It was just a weird, bonkers fucking mess of a movie.
I loved it.
It was total garbage.
I'll stand by it.
By that, I mean I will watch it again.
Oh God!
This is my Malignant from last year.
I love Malignant. Yeah. I love Malignant.
Maybe it's not.
No,
I'm with you. I love
Malignant.
You
did not, we did an episode of Malignant. It's a fucking great movie.
Katie, if next you do Lords of Salem, I'm just gonna burn us all to the ground in the studio.
Let's go. Let's just ride the fire, baby.
We'll ride the fire together.
Yes, ride the fire. No, God, 31 is so bad. It's so bad.
Oh man,
I still watch it.
Malcolm McDowell's in it.
That's the problem. He's a horror icon.
Malcolm McDowell's in a lot of garbage.
That's fair, but he's in it.
I'm going to tell you, though.
He was in the Vamps movie I just talked about.
Which I'm going to love.
You are going to love it.
But part of the journey of the horror genre is garbage films.
That's true.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's true.
So there it is.
You've got to eat it. That's the rights. That's the trial to rights, right? Like, you got to go through... You got to walk through the fire to come out on the other side.
You know what? Actually,
but just... you have already, and you still willingly watch this fucking movie. Oh, so that speaks.
And now I'm telling your listeners, they should watch this garbage too.
Oh God!
See, you know,
it ain't great.
That's why we're guests.
It ain't great.
There's been conversation about,
but it's fun. It's fun
about like how much garbage we watch and just accept in horror, and we're like, cool, like it's garbage, but I kind of love it. That needs to extend to the rest of fandom. That I think, just like my retail and restaurant friends that talk about everybody needs to have a month where they work in retail or restaurants so that the world is just like at peace and everybody understands to be nice to one another.
Yes.
I feel like that needs to happen with like cinephiles as well, is that you need to just watch bad horror movies for a month so that you stop talking shit about the next Marvel movie. Like, oh no, but they did this slight thing different and then so it's bad now. Star Wars or whatever thing where, like, just calm the fuck down. Horror has always been kind of bad.
Yes.
Always. So, yes.
I'll agree with that.
Always.
But that's
literally
part of the
30s,
I think, 20s. Honestly, I think that's what... I think Rob Zombie embraces it. I don't even think he cares if his movies are bad.
No, he doesn't.
He doesn't care.
Clearly, he doesn't.
And that's kind of the strange glory. Like, yeah, Lords of Salem was real bad, but... Like, 31 still had its fun moments. It still had some gore. It still had some weirdness. It was bizarre. It was strange. It wasn't pointed. And there were some dark, dark moments, and there was some good gore.
And I love Meg Foster. Love her.
So,
yeah.
It's still a pick. It's still a pick, and I will watch the movie again.
Me too.
Moving on to, unfortunately, your co-signer on that choice. We've got to go to... Like, I wish there was a buffer in between.
No, we're going right into that shit.
Three from Hell. No, I'm shaking.
Okay. Apparently, there's a sequel called 32, and that's her choice.
No, that was Three from Hell, and it was... Oh, God. Ugh.
Anyway. No.
I'd watch 31 before I watch Three from Hell again.
Didn't bother.
It's so bad.
I have a great movie. So I think my film on the calendar.
Yeah, this is just Halloween picks from now on.
There's no
specific letter or anything for any of these picks moving forward. This is going into Halloween. So this is as you're getting ready for
the
last 4 days of Halloween. Like you're just hitting hits. Like you're doing the big. Like inspiring, love, wonderful fucking movies. What do you got?
Yep. So as you're getting hype for Halloween, I think that I'm going to go back to my love for found footage horror movies. And I want to recommend a film called Gungeum Haunted Asylum. Has anyone seen this?
No.
Oh my God. Really? Okay. Nope. Has anyone seen Grave Encounters?
Yes.
Yeah. So Grave Encounters is all about like Zach Bagans kind of like ghost encounters. We're going to go into a haunted place. And that is in the spirit of Gungeum Haunted Asylum. It is a movie out of, I think, Korea. It's all about a found footage crew that they're going into this like haunted, abandoned mental asylum. You're going to go into it and you're going to watch it and you're going to be like, this is a run of the mill type of movie, but stick with it, please, because the third act is absolutely bonkers. I think that might be like the recommendations that I've listed earlier. Yeah. Absolutely. Like, this movie really scared me. So, Gonjiam Haunted Asylum, check it out. For
another
sure.
one to check out for me. Okay. Where is it? Is it streaming?
Streaming on Tubi. I think it's also streaming on Shudder. I would put this above Grave Encounters. I think that the story devolves into just madness. So, check it out.
I do like when stories evolve into madness.
Yeah, that's me too.
It's
a thing I enjoy.
Yeah.
All right. So, my Halloween pick. And I looked back and I was surprised that this hadn't been picked yet for either the letter or
I love that.
A Halloween
I love
that. Pick. And I wrote extra ones in case the people before me picked that instead of 31. Anyway.
Sorry. Is it 976 evil?
No, I said that last year.
That's already been picked.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Yeah, that was not a great film, but it's Stephen Geoffrey's. He's fun. I gave it to him. It's just we're taking it less serious. We're going comedy. It's on Halloween. It literally kind of reinvigorated the genre of that, like, teen slapstick, but also making it more fun than just, like, trying to be a horror film. I'm going with Idle Hands.
Yeah.
Yes. Obviously.
Just that fun. Great. It did so much. I think at the time it came out, what was it, 99?
Yep.
Whereabouts, yeah.
Where it, like, you know, obviously we had Scream, but then we got berated with shitty teen horror movies. Like,
yeah.
You Know What You Did Last Summer.
Urban Legend.
No, see, that movie fucked with me.
I love Urban Legend.
That movie fucked with me because that movie was solid until the reveal, and I'm like, fuck you.
Why?
Fuck you in the face.
The actress was terrible.
The actress was terrible.
Rebecca Gayheart is amazing, but let's go back to Idle Hands.
Idle Hands, like, this is like basically like a stoner comedy disguised as a horror flick.
Exactly.
And does both very well.
You got the hand hiding in the duck, and then he slides up in the duck, like, and just chokes him.
I'm a Seth Green fan, so him is just like the zombie guy
walking around with a fucking bottle in his head, dude. It looks like Can't Hardly Wait. But like fucking
it is the horror version of Can't Hardly Wait. And it really is.
And
he's like, I can hardly wait because I'm dead.
And I'm like,
there's no time frame for me anymore.
And that could be, this movie could be strictly generational. Newer generations might not find the same humor because they didn't live through this, right?
Right. That's so, I feel like there's a very specific.
This was Y2K generation shit, group, man. That's what this
very
was.
Very specific age group that will enjoy this film. Because, it's very dated references. It's very dated clothing and inflections and style. Yeah, but
I fucking love it. I watch it repeatedly all the time. Yeah.
The cast is iconic.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
It's got Fulton from the Mighty Ducks.
And future Foggy Nelson.
Yeah.
And Daredevil.
Jessica Alba's in it.
Jessica Alba is in this stoner
horror movie.
Now obviously, we can talk about the main character, Devin Sawa, who's now in Chucky.
Sawa is literally a horror icon. There's no debate now.
Can we take a second to talk about how he became like a beefcake daddy or whatever?
He is like,
holy
shit.
What the
fuck?
Did he?
Dude, he's swollen
jacked.
Lean and shit like now. Yeah, dude. Like, he's like a whole.
I've only seen the first like two episodes of the Chucky series, and I really
no. But if you like go to his Instagram, he like is flexing and fucking.
Okay,
and the man was Stan. So
him and Sailboat Mallrats motherfucker.
Ethan Suplee.
Ethan Suplee. They're both.
No, okay.
That's
no,
not the same
I said,
story.
I said like sexy, like flex, kind of buff. Ethan Suplee is like
ripped.
Fucking monster.
A brick. Fucking shit.
That motherfucker is.
Ethan Suplee lost like 200 pounds. Like, 300 pounds.
He is like.
Devin Sawa just got hotter.
Yeah.
He was always hot.
No, I think Ethan Suplee is the same weight that he was before, but he just exchanged it for muscle.
Now it's muscle.
Yeah.
He's a monster. He is like literally brick shithouse. So if you just redo that song, it's brick shithouse. That's Ethan Suplee.
Yeah.
That's That man is impressive. It blew my fucking mind when I started. I'm like, holy
and fucking
fuck,
good for
dude.
Him, man.
Yeah, no, badass, dude. Like, do the thing.
He's got a great podcast about like
American Glutton's fucking awesome.
Yeah, American Glutton, great fucking podcast. So
yeah, talks about all the.
That you can find here at no, I wish.
Not no, he pays everyone to do this shit.
So next one up is my choice, and I'm actually really mad that I have not brought this up as my Halloween choice because every fucking Halloween I watch this movie, it's one of my favorite horror movies of all time. I am obsessed with it because it's got that like 1940s like hateful rich people drinking martinis kind of vibe to it.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But it's also got some spookies and it's got some real genuine moments of terror that fucked me up when I was a fucking kid that, but it's also got that, is it supernatural or is it like people fucking with each other vibe to it? The original Vincent Price House on Haunted Hill.
Dude, that's what came to my head because I was like, Sam Raimi, his inspiration for some of that gliding scary shit he did was from that fucking movie. Mm-hmm. When she comes down and she's just like, got that like fucked up
hand clenching. What just a beautiful movie.
Oh,
it's an incredible movie where you don't know who's fucking over who, whether or not there is supernatural shit happening, whether or not there is some weird murder game between spouses, which is what it ends up basically being. But also, you got a house where there's a vat of acid in the basement. I mean, I'm done. Like, you sold me at that point. There's a vat of
it's
acid
really
house.
It's really spooky. Yes.
No, it is. And like,
also that one moment where the lights come on and she's in the room and there's like the fucking the maid, but she's like,
that's what I'm talking about. The
and
maid
she glides out.
That's what I'm saying. That was direct. Like
that Raimi, fucked me up as a kid.
Raimi directly referenced that in Evil Dead.
What is
the Deadite glide? What that was.
Camera pan is directly referenced from that. What is the exact? I was trying to look it up when the introduction to House on Haunted Hill is so iconic.
Oh,
we've got ghosts. We've got, what does he say?
We've got ghosts and party games and spirits.
Yeah, we've got party games and spirits.
And that's what shows up every Halloween with my friends, where it's like, this is all I want.
This is what's enticing
when I hang out with if you want me to show up, just say this.
Yes.
Yes.
And that is so legendary, so iconic. Yeah. And I love that.
It's Vincent Price.
I
mean,
love that.
Like, it's Vincent Price.
Yeah.
It's one of those movies that I never get tired of it. I don't know if I could watch it over and over and over again, but like a once a year watch. To like really get me in the spirit of Halloween. Like, I think, honestly, I don't know if there's another movie that gets me in the spirit of Halloween more than House on Haunted Hill. Like, if you even look at last year, we did the Haunting of Pizza Castle, and the graphics that I did for that party were very reminiscent of House on Haunted Hill.
Yes.
Because like it's such an iconic movie and it gets me in the spirit and like I'm getting kind of verklempt. Like that is Halloween for me. That is
that's the classic
film,
skeleton.
Any film moving forward that utilized supernatural with a house party. So we go Night of the Demons, OG or remake. I mean, any movie that utilized those two things, clear. Like, where else did they get that from? Right, like where else would that have come from? You know what I mean?
The schlocky where Vincent Price comes out and he's working the skeleton.
Oh,
yeah.
That's
the dumbest shit you've ever seen.
The best thing ever.
And even in the 1950s, they're like, come on, bro.
It's the best thing ever.
It's the best thing ever. I love it so much.
Yeah. But you're right, Lowdown. It has inspired like countless things that we're not even talking about now.
Yeah.
I can even think about like the horrible. Did you ever see Splatter, that Corey Feldman? Like, it's awful.
Wait, Corey Feldman did a thing with Roger Corman.
Oh, it's
I need
awful.
To watch that.
It's on Netflix.
Is
but it's
is it like
totally
awful
inspired.
Bad? Is it
watch it. Watch it.
Oh, so is it like 31?
Yes, but it's like 30 minutes long. But it's influenced by House on Haunted Hill. So
I got you.
Yeah,
I just got to keep fucking. Yeah.
We are.
Yeah, we're Will, way over.
You're pulling the heavy lifting because this is on
Halloween, bro.
So this is gonna sound. Kind of a cop out, but like I'm gonna go ahead and honestly, in the vein of everything, and in the movies that get you in the mood for Halloween, in the movies that prepare you, in the movies that you watch every fucking year for as long as I can remember, on Halloween, I don't care if I just put it on in the goddamn background and listen to the soundtrack.
Yep.
I fucking watch the original Halloween.
Have we
fucking
not
fucking John
done that
Carpenter's?
For... Have we not done that?
No, you did Halloween 3.
Oh.
But we have not spoken about the most obvious goddamn movie that you could have
That's
ever.
Us all trying to pick a fun.
Yeah, not be thing, not be. Like, yeah, but no. But it comes down to it, like 1978 Halloween. I mean, that's
there's nothing better.
There, fucking no, like
Halloween. Watch it
no,
on Halloween.
No, that's true. Like, there isn't a better choice for on Halloween.
Just nothing. Listen to it, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, no, I mean, I watch it every year during Halloween, like, maybe
the,
during
like
the year.
The soundtrack,
I'm just
like,
saying,
I hear
I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's just the entire...
Not even that part, the...
Yeah.
Like it goes.
That was my message alert for a while.
So yeah, it seems like a cop out, but like we haven't talked about it.
No,
and
I think
no,
it's, fair that
it's not a cop out. No, it's not at all.
Y'all gave it to me, and
yeah, you took it.
Fucking Halloween night. Watch
Halloween.
Fucking the original Halloween.
Fuck. I mean Halloween night. Like fuck it. Get out of work and just do a marathon and watch as many of the series as
fuck
you fucking
yes.
can, dude. 1, 2, 3. I don't 4. Maybe
watch
skip 5
remakes.
And 6.
Fuck.
No,
watch
fuck,
the new one.
No, fuck Rob Zombie.
Fuck them Halloween all. Movies. Watch them all.
No, but look, like, there's so many slashers that we've talked about in the 4 years that we've been doing this that are inspired. Like, Halloween was what, 75? 78. Like, that's before all of it. That's before the 80s slashers. Like, this was the inspiration for an entirely new genre of horror. And it was that campy popcorn, like, gruesome fun horror that inspired literally basically the 80s, like all the dumb fun movies of the 80s that you know and love comes from fucking Halloween, at least a little bit.
Yeah, as much as I love some of the sequels throughout the franchise up to date, there's something that happens to me when I put on 1978 Halloween. Yeah. Like, because Myers is my dude.
Myers is my dude.
Yeah.
And like, there's something that happens to me whenever I put that movie on. Like, I get it. Like, put it on the background because you got shit to do, whatever. Like, that's a movie. I cannot just, like, it's not okay with me just to have it in the back. Me personally, just to have it in the background. Just for what that movie means to me. Like, I can't be on my phone.
Yeah.
Like, when, no, and I'm not saying like, While trying to watch, I'm saying if I put it on, I don't give a fuck. I'm watching this movie. Like, to this day. Yeah. Like,
oh, believe me, you know, I watch just, it. I also put it on repeat.
Yeah.
And then go
all
and
the
do
time.
Other
no, but I mean, I get what you're saying, though. Some people will put things on because they know the movie so well, and then it's the background. You can hear it, and you know what scene it is. You might come out from what you're doing and watch the thing. I get it.
That's that scene.
Exactly. That's
right,
for me though, I can't. I have to fucking watch it. I have to watch it, man. I hear Pleasant's voice. I hear Jamie. I hear PJ. So like all that shit. Like I have to watch this movie. Like it's kind of, it's almost like Shawshank for me. Where if the movie's on, I fucking
watch it.
I have to watch it.
There's,
I love this movie
Halloween,
so much.
Shawshank Redemption and Tombstone.
Like I have to watch John Carpenter's Halloween. Yeah. I just
this
have to.
This is the movie we were talking earlier about, the movies you're introducing your kids to or whatever. Like,
there's very little blood in this film. You could, your kids could watch this.
No, 100%. But what I was getting at is that Halloween is like, I have a girl, one of my best girlfriends hates horror. And I was like, just give Halloween a chance. And we watched it and she was like, I appreciate so much this, you know, this film history, like this is iconic, this means something, this has impacted this is a legacy, like this has impacted the future of this genre so much, and this is one of those movies that is essential no matter if you love horror or not.
Yes,
you have to watch this.
It is that film
because it has impacted film in a gigantic way. So
yes,
yeah, you got to watch it.
100%.
Over the years, I've been to many an establishment, whether it be club or bar or restaurant, where they do a Halloween night where they play the first Halloween movie, and that's it.
Yeah.
They may or may not do drink specials. They may or may not do food specials. But people show up because there is such an understanding that this is the spirit of the season is Halloween, that you can have a movie from 1978 and all you do is literally play it in your establishment and people will show up. People will show up and they will celebrate it. They will bring their friends with them to just be around other people that also appreciate how important this film is.
And there's only one other film that I would even like want to see in the same like stratosphere of importance to Halloween. And I really want people to start making more like memes or images or shirts with these two together in the image. And that is Sam from Trick or Treat. Like
if I got a
picture of Michael Myers, like just like sitting down with his butcher knife and Sam's just kind of like on his fucking knee with his sack. And like, dude,
that'd be cute.
Because it's all about Halloween night.
Hey, it's all about exactly. Like, the only film to come out to actually for me carry on that level of for Halloween has been Mike Daugherty's Trick or Treat. That's my like second favorite. I fucking love that film so much.
Hell yeah!
I think we already talked film. About that one a couple.
Oh yeah,
years
we
ago.
Did yeah, a couple years ago.
That was an early
that movie. That movie's
but coming out to theaters this year.
I am going to see it in theaters. Because it never hit theaters around here. It was like pretty much straight to DVD.
Right. For anybody in the Richmond area, they're doing Trick or Treat, and they're also doing Dawn of the Dead 3D.
Trick or Treat's second week of October, I believe, and Dawn of the Dead's the last week of October in 3D.
There's a good likelihood you're going to find some GUI folks for either or both.
Yes.
Of
don't forget, coming in October, Terrifier 2 already came out, so you might have missed that already.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but also a throw before we get out of here is that November 12th, right?
November 12th. All that. Fucking happy Halloween, motherfuckers.
Fuck yeah.
Happy Halloween, you
Well, that's like when people are in that downturn after Halloween, we're like, oh, I miss my spooky shit. Come to a fucking goth industrial fucking show and get a little re-up.
Or make Thanksgiving and Christmas fucking spooky.
Right?
You can do that shit, too.
Watch Gremlins.
Yeah, no shit.
Watch Poltergeist.
Watch
Blood Rage.
Like, you can make the rest of the year. For pretty much when, like, from end of September through to January 1st, it's spooky. It's just different versions of
just
spooky.
Just remember the spookiness is in your heart. Let it out.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So, thank you so much. This has been amazing. This is such a fun time. One of my favorite things that we do all year round is the 31 Days of Halloween. So, thank you so much for listening again. GY Halloween hashtag. Let us know if you're following along on the day-to-day on this stuff. Even if you don't get a chance to do all of them, let me know or let all of us know when you're doing some of them just by doing the hashtag on social medias. And we'll find you here for another episode. I'm Mike the Hobbit.
I'm Lowdown.
Join us today.
All right. I would say... Shut the fuck up, Hobbit, but how about stab yourself with a stake, Hobbit?
Yeah, okay.
Do that.
I don't know.
Oh,
fuck.
God. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Join us or die! Join us or die! Or I will swallow your soul!
GUIPodcast.com